Welcome to Panther Potpourri, the podcast where we're supposed to talk Panthers hockey, but sometimes we don't. Presented by Florida Hockey Now. Here are your hosts, Jacob Langsam, Alex Lopez, and TJ Peterson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Panther Potpourri, a Florida Hockey Now podcast. I am your host, Jacob Langsam. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, TJ Peterson. And joining us today, very special guest, friend of the show, from thefloridapanthers.com. It's our friend Jameson Olive. Jameson, how are you doing tonight?
I've got to be the least exciting person you get from the Florida Panthers. It's such a setup. Like, from the Florida Panthers, we have Jameson.
See, you say that, yeah. But your features are consistently some of our most downloaded episodes. So the people disagree.
There's a small but dedicated fan base. I'll take it.
Jameson, another fantastic start to a postseason with the Panthers advancing to the second round for the third straight season over cross-state rivals Tampa Bay Lightning. First franchise series victory over Tampa. What is the mood in the locker room right now with the guys finally getting over that hump?
Vibes are great. Vibes have been great, though, all season long, going back to last year. You know, even when they lost the final, guys were, you know, after a couple days of feeling, you know, licking the wounds a bit, we're feeling pretty good again. This is a team where, you know, after being around a lot of years, and you guys, you know, you guys have been around a long time as well. You've seen some ups and downs, a lot more downs than ups. And just to go to the rink every day and just kind of know that the guys are going to be feeling good, know that, you know, it's a healthy locker room. Everyone feels like things are going to work out, and they don't always work out. That's the thing. I mean, this is five straight trips to the playoffs now for the Panthers. Yep. I think the Bruins have made like eight straight. The Hurricanes make all these trips to the Eastern Conference Final, and it never works out. But all you can do is just keep believing and keep being a team that gets back each and every year. And then the chips fall during one run and you win the cup and it's great. So for the Panthers, I think that's the thing that makes everyone feel good, is that so many people are locked into long-term contracts. So many people are a part of, you know, this cultural change that's happened here. You know, Bill Zito's got extension as well. That everyone knows that, like, this is just a good time. It's not just a good day. Like, it's just a good time to be a Florida Panther. So everyone just loves going to work every day.
Yeah, I mean, when you traded for Matthew Tkachuk and immediately signed him to an 8-year contract at an age where you knew that 8 years of that contract were likely to be productive, you imagined, we've got eight darts now to go to throw at that Stanley Cup dartboard. And it's looking like you're going to get pretty close with a couple of them. I mean, I'm saying pretty close as in they're within three rounds of winning the cup both times that he's been on the team in the postseason. You know, we'll see what happens this year, but last year they were definitely pretty close. And you know, that was obviously
last year, if, you know, if like Tkachuk's sternum doesn't crack and, you know, Etu's leg doesn't break, and if they would have got there healthy, I think they would have done it, but they just had to destroy themselves to get there. So it was heroic. I think they learned a lot, but it also gives you, you know, cause to believe that if they do get there healthy this time around, you know, who's going to beat them in seven games.
And that's the nice thing about getting Tampa out of the way this year. And I mean, it is Tampa, so you don't want to necessarily put them in this light. But if you look at all of the stats, if you look at the fact that they were, what, like a 96-point team this year, something like that, it could have been worse. Like, last year's Boston team, I would say, was a tougher opponent than this year's Tampa Bay team. Not that this year's Tampa Bay team was the same as, say, if they had played the Capitals, who the Rangers got the sweep in four games. Getting that out of the way in five games, and as many people have pointed out, they didn't really have to spend a lot of time on a plane during this series. You know, these 45-minute flights to and from Tampa are pretty easy on the body. So now that they get to rest up, they spent the entire series in the state. They only played five games, and now they get to take some time off waiting for Boston and Toronto to beat each other's brains out. It's a benefit that they didn't necessarily have last year, even though the round two and round three series were shorter.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, they haven't even been on the ice since, you know, that game five against Tampa. They took 2 days to be off the ice, the first day off, second day just, you know, watching film. You know, we got to talk to them today after that film session, that practice. Like I said, guys are feeling great, but now they're going back on the ice. They get to develop a routine. And I think that's the most important thing when you buy yourself time. You just have more time to plan. The Panthers, you know, went into that first day after the Tampa game knowing exactly how pretty much every day until game one of the next series was going to look. Whereas I remember, you know, last year we beat Boston, you blink and suddenly we're playing game one in Toronto. And maybe that was a benefit last year when you have so many guys that haven't had success yet that kind of just, it was a benefit just to keep on going and just, you know, not have time to think. But now that this is a veteran polished team, they're going to use this time really wisely. I think they already are. And I think, like you said, there's a huge benefit. And not to say there's injuries. Of course, Sam Bennett's injured. You know, that's a process. But, you know, Paul Maurice talked about it today. Like, every guy blocks shots in a series. Every guy takes hits. Yeah. Like, every guy's a little bit banged up when they play. It's the National Hockey League. So to have a couple days just to, you know, help those bruises feel a little bit better definitely goes a long way.
Yeah. TJ, I don't remember if it was you or if it was Armando when I was on Locked On after game five also. But one of the two of you pointed out that by the time the Panthers play their first away game of round two, it will have been nearly a month since they last played a game outside of the state of Florida.
That was probably Armando, but
I thought so, but yeah,
big calendar guy. Armando.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big shout frequent out to Armando flyer miles guy.
Yes. Panthers.
Yeah, Jameson, you bring up Sam Bennett, all the guys who are, you know, everyone's blocking shots and everything, but Bennett actually took one that took him out for a couple of games. What do we think his status is looking like for round two? I know you mentioned that Paul Maurice, or you tweeted earlier today rather, yep, that Paul Maurice was hopeful that he could be ready for game one. What are we thinking on Sam Bennett? What have you heard?
So based off what we learned today, obviously, with the injury the way it was, a lot of swelling, they basically said do nothing for a couple days. We want the swelling to go down. He could skate. It's an upper body injury, but if you're skating, the heart's pumping, you're not, you know, taking care of yourself, the swelling goes down slower. So according to Paul Maurice, he's finally getting back on the ice tomorrow, which is Thursday. And then I guess you kind of go from there. That's the perk of it being upper body. You always see when guys have lower body injuries, when they finally heal, they need 3 weeks just to get back to speed because they haven't been able to skate. So I think when it is ready, he'll be ready to go right away. That being said, Paul Maurice said they're pretty darn confident he'll get back at some point here in round two. Is that game one? Is that game two? Is that game three? I have no idea. I think at this point, for a little bit of gamesmanship, you don't even give any hints it could be. You want to keep the next team guessing. But regardless, I mean, I think the fact that he's even, you know, a chance he plays in round two is best case scenario. Because when you see something like that happen, you immediately think, you know, maybe the final, maybe something crazy. So the fact that he's getting back on the ice here, hopefully tomorrow, according to Paul Maurice, is just a big step and reason to believe that he'll be back, you know, sooner rather than later. But I also think the Panthers might, you're not in a position to rush. You know, they want to go all the way. And I think when you see Anton Lundell and Kevin Stenlund both do what they did when they moved up, you're feeling pretty good.
Ryan Lomberg also was absent from the lineup for, what was it, the final three games of the first round series or the final two? Okay.
I thought he only played game one.
It might have been only game one. Yeah, you're right. Like, I clearly don't.
Yeah, because
really
Oposo got four games.
Yeah, oh, okay. And we're big Kyle Oposo guys, so we're
not
happy.
Apparently not big enough to remember exactly when he joined the lineup.
Good point. So what's Lomberg's status going into round
Oposo
two?
Oposo is showing three games played in this year's playoffs. TJ, you were correct.
What did I miss then? I got this wrong then. I gotta go to Ryan Lomberg game log here. Let's see.
He got an assist in game three.
We've
that
got
was
Ryan.
First game.
Yeah, that is actually interesting.
No, Lombi only got one game.
Lomberg with one game and Okposo with three. So I guess
Stevie
we're
all
forgetting one game.
Who am
where
I forgetting?
Someone else played. Because I know Jonah did not play in round one. Because I would have been very happy if
so
he did.
So Bennett got injured in game one.
He got injured in game two.
Game two, yeah.
Game two,
okay,
yeah.
So that Lawrence.
So that's
came
why.
In for
so
Lomberg.
Stevie came in game two, and then Okposo came in the final three.
Right.
There we go. Look at us.
That makes sense. There we go.
Look at us.
We figured it out. We've cracked the case.
We were all right. Just
it's,
in
it's
the
sad
wrong
when
ways.
I spend 24 hours of my day at the arena thinking about nothing but Florida Panthers hockey, and I still get these things wrong.
Anyway, the question was, what's the status of Lomberg going into round two?
I think he'll be 100%. He's been back for a while now, skating with the guys. Whatever illness it was that took him out hard. Like, he wasn't even with the team. They kept him away.
Oh, wow.
They didn't want to get anyone infected,
that's
obviously.
That's a good move.
It's a great move. As we learned, I mean, there was probably three or four different times this year, as most hockey teams, you know, have happened, where everyone got sick. And you just can't have that happen in the playoffs. If it's December, you can look around the locker room, see everyone sniffling and whatnot, and be like, oh, well, it's December. Guys are sick. Like, we'll get through this. But when a guy, you know, gets sick at this time of the year, you know, stick him in a bubble, make him, you know, just bubble boy, get him far away. And that's what they did. And he's back. He's been back for a while. He's been skating. So needs a couple days, I imagine, of practice, but they have that. That's what they have in between rounds here. So I imagine by the time they get to game one, he'll be ready to go. And then the question becomes, now you have multiple good options, because now you're suddenly very confident in Kyle Okposo. You're very confident in Stephen Lawrence. So we talk about last year to this year. I mean, I think the biggest thing this year, other than a better penalty kill, is just this team is so much deeper. Like, there's a lot of guys that, you know, I love that got called up last year, but they had to go to the AHL right away when guys got hurt. Now you have Okposo with 1,000-plus games, Stephen Lawrence, who's probably an everyday NHL player for a couple other teams in this league, just as the first two guys you go to. That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Okposo is a regular everyday player.
Oh, for sure. He's a top nine player on most teams in this league.
Yeah. Yeah, it's remarkable that he's kind of in a 13th forward role for the Panthers. That really does prove.
And how happy are you that the Panthers are finally the team where guys that could play elsewhere, like, take a maybe you'll play role with the Florida Panthers? Like, that's a new thing, and we should all enjoy it very much.
Yeah, that's something that I think we've talked about quite a bit throughout the season, that this Florida Panthers team is finally not just the destination team for older players to come and play out their last season or two before they call it a career. It's somewhere that guys are coming because they want to be here and they want to compete for a championship. And this is an organization that has shown a commitment and an ability to do that.
For sure. And the sad part now, we don't think about, we're all displaced guys that, like, wanted to go retire now. They can't come to the Panthers anymore. Like, we're a winning team. Where do they go now?
I was just about to say, you know, the Midwest retirement spot is Arizona, but unfortunately that is no longer an option.
Well, it's a tough time to be like a 38-year-old, maybe has a year left guy in the NHL.
Maybe the tides are turning and the retirement home team is going to become Tampa. Who knows?
Maybe. You never know.
It just depends on if these guys haven't won the cup yet. Because if they haven't, come on down.
Come here.
Yeah.
$775,000 sound good to you?
Sounds great to me personally.
I'll take it.
If the Panthers want to sign me to a 1-year deal, I'll take league minimum, 2-way, whatever you want to give me. I'm such a great skater and definitely in NHL shape. Jameson, is there a kind of a feeling in the locker room about not necessarily in the we want Florida way, but are the guys paying close attention to the Boston-Toronto series with kind of an edge on which team they'd rather win? Or are they just kind of sitting back with the idea of we're a team that can beat anyone and it doesn't matter which one of them comes out of the other series?
The Panthers aren't afraid of anyone. And, you know, like I said, if this was last year, you know, when you hadn't done what you did, maybe you think differently and maybe you try to, you know, get the matchups you want. But you look at who they beat last year. They go through the greatest regular season team of all time. They go through Toronto. They go through Carolina, and then you get to Vegas. You look at the teams they beat. I think after you do that, plus now beating Tampa, it's like when we're at our best, we can beat anyone. And if we lose, it's because we weren't at our best, and that's on us. That's kind of the team the Panthers have built now. There's no glaring holes. There's no, well, you know, if this team does this, they'll beat the Panthers. It basically is, if the Panthers just play their game and play to, you know, as close to 100% as they can, that's a tough out for anyone. So with that, they're watching the games. They're watching both teams. I talked to Sam Reinhart today. He says he can't really watch it as a fan. He just kind of watches as, like, X's and O's systematically. Like, it's like the tape after the tape. Yeah, he's like doing some homework, basically. He's taking it home. And I think it's a great matchup either way. And I think there's juice on both sides. Obviously, when you go to Toronto, the juice is built in just because you're in Toronto. It's the Maple Leafs, especially if they come back and find a way to beat the Bruins. That city is going to be feeling like they're winning the cup again. So there's going to be a lot of craziness going on there. Whereas if you go back to Boston, you play them again, that's the revenge game. That's the Bruins trying to make up for last year. So that'll be good. So I don't think you care who you play at this point if you're the Panthers. So, like I said, they're just waiting. They're excited.
Aside from a lot of narrative stuff, which, like, will definitely be prevalent for either opponent because of the matchups last year, is there any on-ice wrinkles for either opponent that might be interesting? Kind of like we were thinking about, how is the Tampa Bay power play that was first in the league going to look like? How is it going to look against the Panthers PK that was so good all year? It finished, I think, number 3, or it's somewhere in the top 5. That being an example of something we were looking at for the Tampa series.
So when you look at everything, like you said, I think the fact that they survived against Tampa with 20 power plays that Tampa had, and I think they kept them to about 20%, which is about, you know, 8% or so less than what they were doing during the regular season. I think that gives you a lot of confidence. The PK has been so solid. Kevin Stenlin's the man, you know, him and Lucy as the top duo. And then Barkey and Rhino coming in, and then pretty much eight other guys that can at least give you a couple minutes on the PK. Just they're really deep there. Deep pairs are solid. So you look at that. I think the Panthers, we haven't really seen the power play have a chance to really blossom into what it was at the beginning, like the middle of the season. It's been a little bit slower here. I think they're playing around discovering some other options, and that's going to be key going forward. But with that, you play the Bruins. The Bruins are always strong on the PK. But if you keep it at 5-on-5, the Panthers are such a good 5-on-5 team. I like how they match up against both those teams. Bruins probably a little bit deeper just in terms of that 5-on-5 talent. So that'd probably be a tougher matchup there. Whereas I feel like you play the Leafs, it could be a repeat of last year where, you know, they take out, you know, Marner, they take out Matthews, you know, take out Tavares. Nylander got some points last year. He's the only guy producing for them. But you take out the big dogs, and then, you know, Florida's bottom six, you love them matching up against Toronto's bottom six. So I think I'm not really looking at any wrinkles. You can't be scared at any sort of matchup things one way or the other. I think the only thing you're scared of is maybe individuals. So you look at, you know, Pasta on the power play, what he can do, even if, you know, Boston's power play isn't as good as Tampa's in terms of just overall numbers, you know, in big moments, Pastrnak always seems to find a way to get those goals. I think Charlie McAvoy would make that series really interesting because there wasn't a lot of nasty in the Panthers, you know, Lightning series. There was a couple little things after the whistle, a couple chippiness, but it seems like whenever the Bruins get together, it's usually like McAvoy and a couple guys on the Panthers and things get a little nasty. So I'm just curious if that happens again here in the playoffs, whereas once again, you go to the Leafs, and there's usually not a ton of nasty there. So maybe the nastiness factor is what maybe could be an X factor if they get the Bruins around too.
Yeah, Charlie McAvoy seems to hate the Panthers also.
He got a bad hit earlier in the year. He's been suspended. Like, probably could have got another one last time they played toward the end of the regular season. Like, it gets weird. It's just, can they shut that off for the playoffs, or is that something that's going to creep up if they do meet here in round two?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, either way, it's a revenge series for the other team.
For sure.
But it's the Panthers are in a good position, though, because both of those teams are worse than they were last year, in my opinion. Panthers, obviously, much better than they were last year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun series, no matter what.
And that's like what I said. Like, if the Panthers, if they don't win at all, you can't point to something and say, well, it's because they didn't do this. Like, they're deep enough, they're talented enough, they're experienced enough. They're good at both special teams. They're really good at 5-on-5. If it doesn't work out, it just doesn't work out. Whether maybe there's a couple of games where bounces don't go their way, a couple just little things here and there. Like, that's what's going to separate the Panthers from the Stanley Cup this year, really. Or, you know, if they just have a really good matchup and it becomes a scenario like it was against Carolina last year, where it's just 4-1 goal games and you're just on the opposite side of each one. So
that's true.
Be confident, feel good about it, but, you know, enjoy the moment too. Like, we were talking about this earlier, like, three straight trips to round two, building sold out every night. Like I said, windows opening, six more years of Barkov and Kachuk after this year at really good contracts. Bill Zito's here for many more years. Like, things are good. Enjoy each and every season. Enjoy every moment. Like, enjoy that Tampa series. Feel good about that. Like, let yourself enjoy that for a little bit longer before you move ahead, because you look at, what is it, 13 straight years out of the playoffs for the Sabres. Like, that's a whole fan base that's dealing with that. Like, there's a lot of fan bases right now that would trade just winning that Tampa series for the last 10 years of what they've been doing. So, We roll with the punches. We paid our dues. The Panthers deserve all this, but make sure now that you are here that we enjoy it. I always remind fans to do that. Enjoy this, be happy, be excited, but enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, unfathomable that this franchise would be in this position as little as 5 years ago, in the bubble. We were thinking to ourselves, like, where do we go from here? They don't really have the assets to go out and get that difference making player. It turns out that Bill Zito just had several aces up his sleeve. He had four aces up his sleeve.
Well, you make the good trades, you make the good signings, and then now we're at the point now where Bill Zito's scouting staff, anytime they bring in anyone, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
When I met with Hovorka, who's a 6'6", you know, coming out of the Czech League, he'll be fine for a spot next year. I'm like, normally you'd say, okay, random signing from the Czech League, see in the AHL. But with the Panthers now sign a guy, you're like, okay, maybe this guy plays 20 games in the NHL next year. I don't know. Maybe he's the next Ubis. Maybe. I don't know.
Exactly.
So Zito's
staff has earned so much
grace. Bill has just
done
such a good job of building just an elite scouting staff here. And I think that's what you need, because that's how you survive when you're going for it every year and you're trading all your first round picks. You just need to keep finding these guys, and they're doing it right now.
Yep. At the very least, they don't need to send more first round picks to load up the top six and the top four, because they're pretty solid in all those areas. So Jameson, we're coming towards the end of this episode. But before you finally shake free of your shackles that are keeping you on this podcast,
before you say that, I got to say that you guys, this was the best invitation I ever got to a podcast. And you guys are always good at this, because so many times someone will say, hey, can you come on at 3 p.m. or 2 p.m.? And I'm like, I got no time. Like, I'm just working all day. It's like in between practice and meetings. Like, it's crazy. You guys are like 9 p.m. on a Wednesday. And I'm like, yeah, 9 p.m. on a Wednesday. That's great. Let's do it.
Yeah, we got Stars Knights going on. It's the second intermission right now. We'll see how this one shakes out. So we've been talking a little bit about round two. And I want to know, what's the party line on when the games will actually be and when the schedule will come out? Because I don't understand how this works.
So the schedule basically comes out when it comes out. Yeah. Because you think there's a massive singular person making all these calls, but it's not just that. It's the league. It's the networks, because you're working with ESPN, you're working with TNT. I mean, that's why games are timed the way they are. So it's all about getting all these people together to make these schedules and going from there. That being said, of course, you want to make things fairly tight. So we'll see what happens here. But yeah, I don't know. I can't reveal any trade secrets there, but you don't have to care. Panthers are hanging. They're resting. They're having a good time. You'd like to know. I'm sure we have a lot of people out of town that want to know when they can fly in and travel and come to these games, but this is how it is in the NHL. You never know. You never know what each day is going to bring.
Isn't it an official stance that the second round doesn't start until every round one series is over, or am I making that up?
I think you're making that up. I don't remember that being a thing. I think we just think that because last year we just advanced right at the end because it was like, you know, game seven and we just went right into it.
Right.
So I don't remember there was no round two starting when we were doing game seven last year. I don't recall.
Me neither. I think that you're correct that wasn't a thing. So it could be an unofficial or official, but just like behind closed doors. We don't.
You guys just need to get a random like mid-level NHL executive on this podcast and just go through all the really mundane stuff.
Like we can get Bill Daly's assistant.
Yeah, exactly. Like when they got to know, they got to keep Bill up to date on when these things are happening. So right. That person's in the know.
Although Bill Daly's assistant is probably an extremely busy person. That's not a random executive assistant. That's not someone who's
Bill Daly's assistant's assistant. There you go.
Yeah.
The intern to Bill Daly's assistant's assistant.
Or maybe, you know what? I know a couple of people who work for NHL Network. Maybe they would know from the broadcast.
We went to NHL.com. We went to Dan Rosen to find out when next season begins. And he's the one that told us when it begins. We have that.
Awesome. So you're about to tell us, right?
It begins at free agency. That's the official stance.
There we go.
The next season begins on July 1st, just like every year.
Yeah.
Well, we always talk about it from like a writing perspective. So say I'm like doing like a post, like a after the season look back. When do I say this season versus last season? So that's kind of how we got into that thing. So if I'm writing something 3 weeks after, you know, the playoffs are over, I'm writing this season still. Like, you know, Barkov had 60 goals this season. But moment we hit free agency, that's last season. That's the official stance.
That is correct.
Yes.
That is always
fans,
how I've looked at it.
This
too.
Was Doug and I in the lab for many months on this one.
Real hockey fans have their friends over for a 11 p.m. party on June 30th to ring in the new league year.
Yes. Pop some champagne. That's how it goes.
What day of the week is June 30th? Oh, I'm going to be in Chicago anyway, so it doesn't matter. I was going to suggest that we should actually throw an NHL New Year's party, but I'm not going to be in the state.
Well, okay, we'll just throw it in Chicago. Invite Connor Bedard. It's going to be awesome.
Great idea.
Love it.
That's a great idea. All right, Jameson. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. Hopefully we get an equally fun round two, and I'm sure that that your content on the website is going to be fantastic regardless. Jameson, let people know where they can find you on the multiple platforms that you exist on.
You can find me at Jameson Olive on Instagram, at Jameson Coop on Twitter/X, because Jameson Olive is taken on X and has been since like 2007. So I'll get it someday. I don't have it yet, but I'll get it someday. Someone's squatting on it. But yeah, you can follow me there. And of course, like you said, FloridaPanthers.com is where all the articles are. Download the Panthers app, please. FloridaPanthers.com/app. Cranking out the new app this year. Got some fun stuff coming with it next year. So just get out ahead, download it, have fun. And yeah. Come hang. And also go check out the Baptist Health Iceplex. I'm there a lot for practice and stuff. But if you guys haven't been yet to just like check it out or do a public skit or something, like it's awesome. Check it out.
You know what's shocking, Jameson? We haven't been there yet, despite the fact that it is about 500 yards from our apartment.
That's tough. You got to go.
We
and
literally
also,
live across
the restaurant
street.
There that just opened up, the Federal.
Everybody keeps asking me, like, have you been to the Federal yet? Because they know, like, I'm the Panthers guy around.
Oh, there's Buzz. I didn't know there was Buzz.
There's Buzz. Absolutely Buzz. I'll take it. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, come on, man. You know how it is these days. Everybody knows what's up. Like, I used to never get people asking me anything about the Panthers. Like, my mom would ask me about it just to, like, make conversation because she'd know I would follow
Well, you
it.
Never know what's going to happen at the Federal, because the Federal overlooks the pickleball courts. So I grabbed a bite there in between, like, you know, morning practice and headed back to the arena. And you got Roberto Luongo playing pickleball out there. Like, you never know what's going to happen at the Federal. You got to go. A lot of people in Vancouver pay a lot of money to see that happen, but you can just go to the Federal, grab a burger, and check it out.
Yeah, we can just walk across the street, TJ.
These are some Fort Lauderdale perks right here.
Ask him for a weather forecast. We know his experience with that.
Exactly. Oh. Well, Jameson, thanks so much for joining us. Everyone, look forward to round two. It's going to be fun. Thanks so much, everyone. Thanks for listening. Guys. Good night, everybody. Go Panthers.